And he joins us now to talk about his stand-up show coming to the Smart Financial Center in Sugarland on April the 9th. He is Bill Maher. Bill, how you doing, sir?
I'm good, Brad. How are you today?
I'm well. I'm. You know what? I'm so excited to talk to you. I mean, first of all, the stand-up show is going on here in Texas. And when I was telling people I was going to talk to you, they're like, wait, Bill Maher does stand-up in the South? Really? But I don't know why people are surprised to hear that.
Oh, I do the best in the South. I love the South, Midwest, any place that's not politically correct. You know, I'm the original politically incorrect guy. So any place that is up for a laugh, above all, that's my kind of place.
Well, yeah, and you know, the thing about stand-up, too, is you can't be too guarded. You can't be too in your feelings. And people don't really take themselves too seriously, at least in Texas. I don't know about all the South, but in Texas. But what can people expect from the show? Because, you know, people know you for your political opinions, obviously. But your stand-up show is very different than real time, right?
It is. I mean, look, I will never get too far away from politics. And I talk a lot about my personal life. I talk about things that, you know, affect everybody, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It's just that when you do a place like Texas, you don't have to worry about the groaners, like I might in San Francisco, for example. And that's what I'm going for. That's what I've always gone for. You know, there's kind of a war on jokes these days. I mean, we saw it at the Oscars with Will Smith slapping Chris Rock, sort of this idea that jokes are the enemy, and that we should be very careful about what we say. And if you say the wrong thing or the wrong kind of joke, you could get slapped physically or, before that, metaphorically, legally, get canceled and that kind of stuff. And, you know, I've always been fighting against that since the very beginning, and it's only gotten worse. That's why I called my first show Politically Incorrect, because I wanted people to know this is a safe space for saying whatever we want. Free speech is more important than your damn feelings. And that has not changed in 30 years.
Well, you know, in some ways, you were kind of one of the early victims of cancel culture when you really think about it, going back to 2001, right? I mean, anybody can get mad at an opinion on a show called Politically Incorrect is beyond me. But yeah, I mean, you were kind of the first guy that kind of got the axe in a way.
Absolutely. I mean, and I was literally canceled. I mean, the show was canceled. Of course, I went on to a better show on HBO, I think, but, you know, it was traumatic at the time. And, of course, what's so different now is that back then the cancellation was coming from the right. Now, there is still cancellation from the right. I mean, they canceled Colin Kaepernick pretty hard.
Yeah.
But now a lot of the cancellation is coming from the left. You know, I fight them both. One of the most satisfying things about doing stand-up for me these days is that I get a mixed crowd. I get a crowd that's liberal, a lot of liberals, and a lot of conservatives, which is great. It's because that's what America has to do. It has to come together again and realize, first of all, we don't always have to hate each other because our politics are different. They're going to be different. You can't convince people to come over to your side very much. That's okay. You can still like somebody. We didn't used to have to talk politics all the time, and so we had no idea how much we hated each other. We should go back to that. Facebook needs to go back to being about, you know, cat videos and humble brags and finding out who from high school is gay or fat or bald or dead. It's not for arguing with some kid you went to third grade with about Brett Kavanaugh. So I love it that I get a mixed crowd now, and people can sit together, understand they don't agree with everything I say at all times in the show, but still laugh together and have a good time. And that's what we're out to do, and that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I mean, again, and Bill Maher's going to be at the Smart Financial Center. You can get tickets at Ticketmaster.com or BillMaher.com. You're absolutely right about we talk politics too much. My grandparents, one was a Democrat, one was a Republican. They didn't talk about politics except once every 4 years when it was time to vote. And they said, let's go cancel each other out. That was the only time they would discuss politics. And you know what? You brought up the Chris Rock thing. And I was on Friday, I was actually with Ronald Sullivan, who's a guy who you brought up on your show on Friday as well, who's an attorney, professor at Harvard, and he got into a lot of trouble for doing his job, but defending Harvey Weinstein. Chris Rock got physically attacked for doing his job. What do you think that says about our country right now and where we are as a society?
Not good things. It says that people are way too sensitive. I've said this from the beginning. When people ask me, well, how do you define politically incorrect? Well, I said, first of all, it's the opposite of politically correct, which means you're full of it. When people say you're being political, it usually means it's a fancy way of saying you're lying. But I also defined it as the elevation of sensitivity over truth. Now, truth can hurt. It can sting a little. So what? Grow up. I mean, who told people that life is this one pageant that we walk through where nothing that ever affects you or hurts your feelings in any way comes your way? That's not life. It shouldn't be life. And you shouldn't expect it to be. You know, I saw that the internet was mad at me over the weekend, some of them, I mean, the usual suspects, a lot of other people liked it, when I said about Jada Smith, like, put on a wig, like everybody else at the Oscars. If you're so lucky as to have alopecia be your worst medical problem, just say thanks, God, because hair loss, trust me, the one we should really be feeling sorry for is Larry David. I mean, you give it a fancy name like alopecia, and people are like, oh my God, how can you even go there? Well, you know, I mean, aging is a series of disappointments in how you look. Trust me, I'm 66 years old. I understand this. And, you know, just be thankful that it's not something life-threatening. It's not something really horrible. It's just part of the degradation of the flesh that happens as we go through life. And to be so upset about it, so sensitive about it, that you think it requires a literal slap in the face, I just don't get it. That the same crowd, the same people out there who are always so concerned about microaggressions and how you dare not touch anybody in the office place and all this kind of stuff, they were okay with this? The people who say silence is violence are okay when it's actual violence?
Right.
Words are violence, but violence is what? Not violence? I mean, you know, look, I'm very anti-Trump, but I do understand why people go, wow, I know he's awful, and I know the Republicans suck, but these other people are crazy too. Now, I don't think they're as dangerous at all, but I do understand that inclination that people go, wow, I just can't vote for people who are that nuts. And that's a lot of the problem that the Democratic Party is having right now. That D is, I mean, look at Texas. They always say Texas is going to become a purple state, and it never does.
No.
And, you know, if the Democrats would just stick to the meat and potatoes issues and stop with the crazy stuff, I think they probably would win.
Yeah, it's far more likely, I think, that there's, you know, craziness on obviously on both sides. And you get the far righties can't stand you at times and the far lefties come after you all the time. But I think that you're right. Most of America is in the middle. I think 80% of this country is right there in the middle. And that's why, you know, the people on social media take themselves too seriously and they think they're going to change somebody's mind in 280 characters or less. Go ahead.
Brad, what I hear mostly from people now when they stop me is like, oh, thank God for you. You speak common sense. I feel like that is what is so missing, is common sense. So, you know, this idea that I've changed, I haven't changed at all. I am still the same childless, unmarried, pot-smoking libertine I always was. You can accuse me of many things, but never say I've matured, because I swear to God, that has not happened. But when they say you've changed, I say, no, I haven't changed. Things have changed. Both parties have changed. The Republican Party has changed a lot. It's not the Republican Party anymore. It's the party of Trump. And the left has also changed a lot. I've changed? No. 5 years ago, nobody was talking about abolishing the police. 5 years ago, looting was not legal.
Right.
You know, 5 years ago, penises meant something. you know, it's like there's a lot of nutty stuff that changed. Should I just not notice this? Should I not react to that as the same person I've always been, the common sense person? So I find that very gratifying that people notice that. And again, that's where their hunger is in America. It's for common sense. Like you said, people are mostly in the middle, and they just want common sense, and they can't find it.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, too, the parties, it tends every 10 to 15 years, they're changing something. I mean, they're Nixon started the EPA. I mean, an environmentalist
Correct.
Who was a Republican.
Sure.
You wouldn't relate those two things today just based on the current climate of things. You know, you had a podcast recently with Quentin Tarantino, and you mentioned something on there that I'd never heard a stand-up talk about. You talked about the best kind of laugh. I believe you called it a character joke. Or a character
yeah.
laugh? What, yeah, can you explain that concept a little bit more?
Well, I mean, first of all, yes, I do have a podcast now called Club Random. And, you know, it's a place where we kind of have a few drinks. So, like, I don't remember any of this, and yet it was only a couple of weeks ago. But I know I had an awesome time with Quentin Tarantino that night. And it just comes out so funny. I mean, I don't think there's anything in podcasting, anything like this. It has a real nighttime feel. We do it at night. We're drinking. We may be having a clove cigarette or two. And as far as a character laugh, I think what I was probably talking about is a laugh you get because the people understand who you are. I mean, it's not a laugh you could ever get your first even 10, 15 years on the scene, but I've been on the scene a long time. So if I say something like in my new special that's coming out mid-month on HBO, if I say something like, I've never been one to make fun of religion, the audience cracks up because right. they know for many years I have been that guy. That's a character laugh. And again, this is not something you can expect to have when you're 30 years old. It's
yeah.
not that I don't wish I was still 30 years old.
Well, or, you know, I guess also if they are aware of your circumstances, right? Like when Chris Rock did his first show, he opened up with the line, so how was your weekend? Then it got a massive reaction because people understood
exactly.
what he was going
right.
through. It's not really a joke,
exactly.
but
that's
they found it funny.
Exactly. That's the same kind of thing. A laugh that's based on what people know about you.
Right. You know, one thing that you do so well on Real Time is your monologue at the end of the show. Whenever I watch your show,
Thank
it's the
you.
Thing that I look forward to the most, more than
yeah. We call it the editorial. Yes.
Yeah. 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 Your editorial at the end of the show, I should say, not the opening monologue. And you always have a very interesting topic. You can tell that you spend a lot of time on it. I just kind of would like to know what is your process for selecting that topic, and then what's the writing process for the whole week? Is it you knock it out in a day? Is it arduous? Do you
work on it every
single night?
Yeah. I mean, that's one reason why I like doing a show that's on once a week, because I do have time to, like, hone it all week long. I mean, that end piece, which takes about 8 to 10 minutes, to do on the air probably takes me 20 hours in the week. We pick the topic Friday before like a week before. I'm usually picking something that I don't think, first of all, we always want to be funny. I mean, it's a comedy show, the thing has to have laughs. But more important than that even is the idea that it has to be some point that no one else is making or would make, usually something that nobody else would even go near. That's what HBO is always selling. You can't find this anywhere else. That's why it's a pay service network. You cannot find this anywhere else. I love my Netflix. I'm friendly with the Netflix person who runs it. I think they did a great thing, but I always say Netflix has 1,000 shows I kind of want to see. HBO always has one or two I'm dying to see, whether it's the one about the Lakers now that's on, mm-hmm. whether it was Succession, whatever it is. And that's what I'm trying to do. Do something that you cannot see anywhere. So that's the thing I'm trying to do, especially at the end of the show. Give the audience something that to think about that nobody else, a point nobody else is going to make, and then make it funny.
You know, a friend of mine actually said Netflix is the ultimate database of movies I want to watch, just not right now. Which I think, is
that's
great.
Right.
did you ever have, though, and this would be my final question for you again, Bill Maher will be at the Smart Financial Center this Saturday, April the 9th, tickets available at BillMaher.com. And of course, Ticketmaster, the special is coming out on HBO. Did you ever have, I'm sure, well, you just mentioned you had a reaction over the weekend, but was there a reaction that you had, a negative one, to one of your editorials that you were kind of surprised by? Like, was there one particular topic that you were like, no, I think I'm going to have people on this one. They're going to be on my side on this one. And then it kind of went the other way.
Oh, I feel like there's some of that every week. I mean, I saw it a couple of weeks ago. I did a thing about, you know, Zelensky in Ukraine. You know, he is this macho figure, and, you know, the internet is full of women talking about how much they want to have sex with Zelensky. And I was, you know, the whole point of it was, if toxic masculinity is such a problem, how come they love this guy so much? Because, I mean, not that he's toxic, but it's like, let's say, traditional masculinity. I mean, he is what we used to call a man's man, and women are just all over this. And, you know, I was trying to make the point that maybe women have domesticated men so much in this country that they've made them, like, not attractive to themselves anymore, because we see these statistics, like the amount of sex people have is way, way down. And I think that's because women have turned men into such, let's say, sensitive figures, a little too sensitive, that they're not really getting that feel that they get from a guy like Zelensky. I didn't think it was that controversial, but of course, there's just a lot of people who want to hate whatever you're going to say. There's a lot of people out there, Brad, with time on their hands, who just want to bitch. They just want to bitch. So almost no matter what you say, you're going to get something back.
Yeah, I mean, the one that you did one time was about, you know, weight and how can we be a healthier country, and just watching our weight. And I didn't expect the reaction that you got from that one particularly. I mean, I thought that was, again, going back to the common sense thing, right?
Right. Well, that's what James Corden wanted to make himself a hero there. I mean, he could have, like, saved a lot of people's lives probably if he had said something like, you know, I've struggled with this and Bill is right. This is obviously, we have the statistics, this is the number one health problem in America. We're never going to become a healthy country or solve our... This is before COVID, which of course proved that obesity is even more of a problem, because the people who die from COVID are almost always obese. But this is before that. I was just saying, look, we cannot have a healthcare program in this country that's going to work unless you ask the people to participate in their own health. And even after we had this pandemic, we're not doing that. But James Corden thought it would be a better idea to present himself as the hero to people who just want to eat as much as they can. And, you know, he's not doing them a favor. I've said this before on CNN. If you are not mentioning this, especially if you are in the media or if you are part of the health regimen in this country that advises people on their health, and you do what they do, which is be afraid to mention this, to even suggest that people take this into account, you have blood on your hands. You're not doing anyone a favor, because it is the overwhelming factor. Before COVID, it was killing people slowly, and after COVID, it kills them quickly. So I'm not the bad guy on this. But I just want to tell people, this show I'm doing in Texas this weekend, not the same show that is my special. So don't worry that you're going to go see my show and then you're going to see the same thing. I would never do that to people because I love my audience too much.
Oh, yeah, it's great to know. I mean, the special, again, comes out here in middle of this month, I believe you said. And, of course, this Saturday, the Smart Financial Center, Sugarland, Texas, April the 9th. Tickets available on BillMaher.com or Ticketmaster.com. Of course, real time on Fridays and Club Random, which, by the way, I've listened to all the episodes thus far. You nailed the format. You really did. Having it be like a nightclub thing. Seriously, such a good idea. Because when I saw it for the first time, I was like, oh, yeah, every great conversation, or at least I thought it was a great conversation that I've ever had, is like at a party in the corner, at a nightclub or something. It's always the best one. Always the best
one. Exactly.
So Club Random is great. And I appreciate you taking the time,
noticing.
Bill. Yeah, no,
thanks,
absolutely.
Man. I appreciate it, Brent. Okay. Have a good day.
All right. Bye-bye. Bill Maher, thank you so much.